ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria here. I'm here with Dr. Amy Baxter, who is a pediatric emergency physician and the inventor of Buzzy, distraction cards, and VibraCool physiologic pain relief products. She's here to talk about a very seasonal topic, beach safety. Welcome to the show, Dr. Amy.
Thank you so much for having me.
So as a fellow ER doctor, really excited to have you here. Let's talk about, you know, what should everybody be packing when they go to the beach for those family beach days to really keep them safe?
Right. Well, the obvious thing is lots and lots of sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And one thing about beaches, it's really easy to spray your child with the new spray sunscreens, but with the wind and when they're applying on the outside, sometimes those are not the best way to keep yourself covered.
Go ahead.
Well, the other fun thing that people don't know about sunscreens is all of the SPF that they list is actually if you're using almost a shot glass full of the sunscreen. So bring an extra bottle, because if you really want to protect your child, you're going to need to reapply so much, you may use a single bottle on each trip.
You make some really good points there. One is that we have to reapply and we tend to not use enough. And especially for kids, we had a guest recently who was advising, put on their sunscreen back in the hotel room, because if you're trying to spray them out on the beach, you're going to miss spots.
Absolutely. So. And that also puts the point up of when to apply the sunscreen. Mm-hmm. If you're right at a hotel that's on the beach, that's about perfect, because you really need to have the sunscreen on your body for about 30 to 40 minutes so that it can create a film with the oils on your own skin to be the best barrier against sun when you're going to be getting into the water and sweating.
Okay, very good. And again, also, even if it's water repellent or water protective, you still have to reapply. Right.
Absolutely. In fact, they've recently required a change in the name. So now water resistant, mm-hmm. but it's not waterproof, because there isn't such a thing as a waterproof sunscreen. Water resistant will give you 40 to 80 minutes, but whenever you get out of the water, you still need to reapply.
Okay, so we need to reapply, you're saying every 40 to 80 minutes or after you get out of the water.
How about an and?
And, yes, this is true. And you can't really apply too much, especially in the heat of the summer right now with those rays and on little children's skin.
Absolutely. And we also now are protecting against A and UVB mm-hmm. rays. So you want to find a sunscreen that says specifically UVA and UVB.
Mm-hmm. So again, people are looking for that broad spectrum and SPF.
Exactly. And if it says broad spectrum, it's both UVA and UVB.
Perfect. That's easy to remember. Look for broad spectrum. Now, as they're looking, they're in the store looking for it, what do you have any specific brands that you like? And then what's your SPF cutoff you like to tell people?
So I don't have any particular brands that I like, because I think that most of the brands have similarly sized molecules of zinc oxide. It's really more that the microparticles are now mm-hmm. what's being used. So while I don't have a brand that I prefer, SPF of 30 is really the minimum for a pediatric indication that you're going to use. That's going to stop about 93% of the rays. When you start moving up to an SPF of 45, you get 96%. SPF 60, you only get 97. So you start to get diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. So if you reapply an SPF of 30, then you're going to get sufficient sun protection without having to spend the extra money.
Okay. And then I want to make a good point too. You mentioned zinc oxide. There's a lot of different ingredients. Others have avobenzone on the chemical side. Do you recommend sticking to mineral sunscreen for kids?
I think that minerals have better track record, mm-hmm. and they also have been better tested with what size of molecule is going to penetrate into the skin. The problem is with really, really small molecules, you can actually get some systemic absorption. Mm-hmm. So I think that the brands that have been around longer are more often the ones that have good-sized particles that are safe for children.
I agree. That makes really a lot of sense. And one other point I like about the mineral sunscreen is that I've been told, you know, it does, if it gets into their eyes, it's not going to sting as much.
Absolutely.
So you can put it on their face. Okay. Say somebody didn't follow this, or they did, but, you know, they missed a couple spots. You know, your child's starting to get red and you realize they're getting sunburned. What can you do to ward off an even worse burn?
Well, there's a new product that's out within the last 2 years that's called HelioCare, and it's a nutraceutical. It uses plant extract from the ferns that have adapted to living in deserts. It's got great clinical trial evidence. I have no conflict of interest, but it's been shown that it decreases the likelihood of burning. Now, unfortunately, it's a capsule, so this is going to be good for your teenagers who you don't trust to reapply as often, but they're not going to sit still for you to apply. But that's one thing that is a really good product to decrease the likelihood of getting a burn.
Now, this is fascinating because I have not heard of HelioCare. I may have heard of it tangentially, but this is the first time someone's really told me where to use it. What about for adults? Is it something that we can use too for when you go out in the sun?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, actually, it's going to work better for adults because we're more willing to take the capsules. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a child who's young enough to be willing to take the capsules or you sprinkle it on, their data is only in adult trials, but there's no physiologic reason why it wouldn't help. And it is, again, a plant derivative from ferns.
Fascinating.
Now, one other really important thing I should mention is that the variety of cover-ups that exist now, particularly ones with zippers, make it so much easier to get your child used to wearing a cover-up. It really ought to be like wearing a helmet when you're biking. Get your child used to wearing a cover-up to the beach early, and then as they get older, they'll feel more comfortable in these kind of cover-ups. There are lots of different brands. Some go over the head. Lands End makes really nice ones. And then there are also ones that zip up called Swim Zip, so that if you don't have a child who's comfortable having a wet, clammy thing go over their face, you can really just zip it on. But that should be in everybody's bag.
I love that. And I use that on my daughter as well. She has one. It's little, it comes up to a little turtleneck, and then it goes up to about below her elbows and below her knees.
Right. They're so much more fashionable and comfortable now than they used to be. It's really easy to get the girls to find it.
Exactly. Well, she's 17 months. She doesn't get to have much voice yet, but I imagine she will in like a week probably. But it also means that it's less likely that I'm going to miss a spot with sunscreen, and especially because babies, their skin is so delicate, and that impact of a sunburn at a young age can really, you know, stay with them.
Right. Every blistering sunburn increases the risk of melanoma later in life, and blistering just means peeling. If it peels, that means that there's micro blisters underneath. One thing that's also good to pack is having ibuprofen, because it's an anti-inflammatory, not just for fevers or for pain, but also for inflammation. So you can decrease some of the systemic effects of sun and some of the local effects of sunburn if you use ibuprofen at the first time you're like, uh-oh, I think we got a little too much today.
Okay, so if you see your child starting to burn, obviously get them out of the sun, give them some fluids to hydrate, and give them some ibuprofen. And HelioCare is for before you go in the sun, right?
It's not preventative and after. I believe they recommend starting at 3 days before you're going to an increased sun intensity environment.
Awesome. I love that. I'm going to definitely look up HelioCare more. Okay, now we kind of touched on overheating. You know, how can you keep an eye on your kids? And are there certain temperatures or humidities that you really worry about?
Well, anytime your child is acting like they don't want to be playing, they're probably overheated. So having a shade that you bring with you, or making sure that you find a place on the beach where you have an umbrella or an availability of shade, is key. The other thing is, think about the way that swimming pools have an out of the water time. Try to regulate how much your child is out in the sun, and have a good 15 minutes out of every hour where they're playing in a place where there's shade. Danger signs are if you see your child stopping sweating. If it's really warm out and their skin is warm to touch, but they're not sweating, then they've already gotten into a heat emergency.
It's really a bad sign.
Right. And one thing that's good to know is if you're trying to cool them off, don't put cold ice packs or cold washcloths on their body. Put them under their armpits or in their groin. Because what you're doing, as you know, in the emergency room, is you're trying not to shunt the hot skin, the blood, back into their body. So what you really, if you're worried about it, let them sit with a cool rag on their diaper area or in their lap or behind their neck, because that way the blood that's passing will get cooled, but you're not going to make the skin stop its cooling effect.
Okay. I also love one thing that we do in the ER, spray them with cold water and put them in front of a fan, let it evaporate off.
Fabulous. Good idea.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into a little bit of beach first aid. We're about to have to take a commercial break, so we're going to have to jump back into it. But we're going to be talking about jellyfish, man-o-wars, some real emergencies. We're pulling out the emergency room doctor from Dr. Amy Baxter here. Again, this is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio. I'm here with Dr. Amy Baxter, pediatric emergency physician and inventor of Buzzy. Stick with us right through this commercial. We'll be right back to talk about more.